Amen. I hope that's the prayer on everybody's lips this morning, that they would rather have the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and be found acceptable in His sight than anything else this world could afford. You know, I preached Sister Darnell's funeral on Friday, which was a difficult thing to do. I'm going to miss her tremendously. And I know that Brother Darnell really covers your prayers, and just ask that you'd be watching an intercessory prayer for him. It's going to be a really difficult time for him. But one thing I mentioned about her is that she was one of the most selfless persons that I've ever met in my life. And when you think about it, selflessness is really the essence of Christianity. It's basically just having your own personal Garden of Gethsemane experience where you say, God, not my will anymore, but just thine be done. I hope that really is your prayer this morning. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 31. My heart is heavy this morning, folks. I was fighting and fighting with the Lord. Not because I didn't want to preach this, but because I don't like the reasons that I have to sometimes. But He confirmed my heart very clearly this morning what He wants me to do, and I want to be faithful and obedient to do that. The book of Luke, chapter 22, starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Let's read that again. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And I want to preach to you on being sifted by Satan. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You with all of our heart. God, we pray that You'd come down by Your power and Your Spirit in this service, and everything that You want to see accomplished would be accomplished around these altars. We pray that every heart and mind would be open to receive and not to just hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Folks, as your pastor, there's a lot of places, spiritually speaking, that I've wanted to see you all come to. For instance, I've wanted to see every single one of you come to a place of repentance. When you realize that you're not in right standing with God and you say, Lord, I realize what my sin's done inside of my life. I see the consequences that have befallen me. I realize what those consequences are going to equal in eternity. And I don't want anything to do with that, but I want You to come down and cleanse me and forgive me and make me anew. I've wanted to see every single person in this building come to that place in their life. I've also wanted to see every single person here come to a place of spiritual dedication. I mean, where they're not wishy-washy in their Christianity, but where they really do surrender everything to Jesus Christ and Him alone. They've had their sins forgiven, and they go all out for God. Wanted to see everybody here come to that place. I've wanted to see every single person here come to a place of progression or sanctification in their spiritual life, where they're constantly growing and gaining new ground, and they're continually moving forward in their walk with the Lord. Because we know if you're coasting, you're what? You're going downhill. We know if you stay in the same spot, what's going to happen? The darkness is going to catch up with you. So I want to see all of you constantly moving forward and gaining new ground in God and getting closer and closer to the Lord. I want to see every single one of you come to a place of prayer, where you have a real, vibrant prayer life, where you know what it's like to get down on your knees and get a hold of God. That He's familiar with your voice calling out to Him. And when He hears it, it moves the hand of God, and He comes down and He does what you're asking Him to do. Because after all, that's what prayer was designed for. I've wanted to see everybody here come to the place of Pentecost, where you're all filled to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the fruits of the Spirit are evident in your life. The gifts of the Spirit are evident in your life. The power of the Spirit is demonstrated in your life. I want to see every Christian come to that place because that's what every Christian's called to. And last but not least, I've wanted to see all of you come to a place of having a good church where we love one another and we teach the truth, where we encourage one another, intercede for one another, where we believe the same things and we obey the same things. I've wanted to see every single one of you come to that place. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of places I want to see all of you come to. A list that would be too long to even go into for an introduction to a sermon. But there's some things, as your pastor, I'd really like to see you experience. But folks, then again, there's some things that I wish you never had to experience as long as you live. For instance, I don't want to see any of you have to experience the trials and the hardships of life. You know, I know a lot of you right now are going through some very difficult times. And as your pastor, I hate that. I mean, I don't want to see any of you have to face some of those hard times that we all have to face, whether it's difficult circumstances or sickness or tragedy or heartache or death. I wish none of you would ever have to experience any of those things. I wish none of you would ever have to be at the place of having to deal with your flesh. And I'd like to think that the saints of this church are serious about their walk with the Lord and they're trying hard to live for God. But whatever happens, I mean, anytime somebody steps out to live for God, there's three enemies that always come up and try to resist everything they try to do. The world, your flesh, and the devil. And as you're going out in your walk with Christ and you're trying to live a holy and a sanctified life, I wish you never had to deal with that stuff. But I wish none of you would ever have to be persecuted and mocked by people at work or even your own family and friends because of the things that you believe in. I wish that none of you would ever have to face any of those things. But Jesus said they were going to happen. And unfortunately, they do. And the sad thing is a lot of times none of these things are even things that we bring upon themselves. But a lot of times they just happen just because we live in a sinful world. And it's like they come at us yelling the same thing that we used to yell when we were school kids playing that game, you know, hide and seek, you know, ready or not, here I come. And there's a lot of things we don't want to have to face, but the fact of the matter is we can't stop these things from happening. We can't run away and hide from them. I mean, they're inescapable. We can't pretend that they're not there. So the only option we have to do is to just deal with them. But I really want you to know that as your pastor, if I had some kind of opportunity to step in and stop those things from ever occurring in your life, I would. But I can't. The hardships of life are going to come our way, and there's nothing we can do to stop them. But what I want to talk to you about this morning far exceeds all of those things that I just mentioned. It's far worse than just a typical trial, the typical temptation, or the regular hardship that we experience in life. And it's the same place that we find Peter in our text this morning, which is the place of being sifted by Satan. It's the place where we aren't just experiencing the normal hardship or the regular adversity, but we're experiencing all-out, outright, intense spiritual warfare. There's a big difference. It's not the place where we're just dealing with unfortunate circumstances. That stuff happens every single day. But when you're being sifted by the devil, we're dealing with Satan himself. And I want to make sure that you understand, I'm not just talking about going through hard circumstances. I'm not just talking about facing bad times. But I'm talking about being sifted by the devil. And the Lord singled this verse out and gave Peter a warning because He wanted us to understand that there's a big difference. It's where what you're going through is different, and you know it. It's drastically different. I'm talking about the place that Jesus was describing to Peter in our text when He said, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, what the Lord was talking about when He used that term sifting is He was talking about the place where Satan sifts you spiritually in an outright attempt to separate you from God. It's different. He doesn't want to just trip you up. He doesn't want to just make a mockery of your spiritual life. He doesn't want to just hinder you in some way. He is trying to separate you from God. Because after all, when Jesus Christ speaks, He says things for a purpose, doesn't He? The illustration that He gave in this warning is very significant. Because He said that the devil wanted to sift Peter. And we all know what sifters are, right? I mean, in case you don't, you're too young. Maybe you don't understand what a sifter is. I mean, you take one of these things that's, you know, fine mesh, and you take some flour and you pour it in there, and then you take a lid and trap the flour inside of it, and then you begin to shake it. And you shake it until all the pure flour comes out, and all that's left inside is the stuff that you just want to throw away. It's no coincidence that the Lord used this when He was warning Peter and said, Peter, you need to take warning. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Because what he was trying to tell him is, listen, Satan wants to get you, he wants to trap you, and then he wants to sift your life in a deliberate attempt to separate you from your relationship with me. He doesn't want to just hinder you. He doesn't want to just trip you up. He wants to separate you from me completely. So when we're talking about being sifted by the devil, it's a time where Satan is trying all out to ruin our relationship with God and bring it to a final end. I want to be very clear. It's a time where Satan is pulling out all the stops and he's sifting our lives as hard as he possibly can for one reason and one reason alone, to get us to give up on God altogether. No more church, no more prayer, no more God, we give up altogether. It's a time of intense spiritual warfare. It's not normal. It's no little deal. When it's happening, your soul is at stake, and you know it. When it's happening, you feel trapped. You feel Him secure the lid. You feel shaken. And you even start to feel that separation starting to take place. And when it does, it scares you to death. And folks, we need to understand that if we're not careful, Satan can by all means come and accomplish what he's trying to do. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I say being sifted by Satan? I mean, there might be some of you here that's experiencing this sifting for the first time, and you've already experienced all the great stuff that we've talked about. I mean, you had your sins forgiven, and when I was going over that introduction, you're saying, well, man, Pastor, I'm glad you wanted me to experience that because I did, and I'm praying now, and I even got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've experienced that good stuff. I've repented and all that wonderful stuff, and I've even faced some trials and some hardships inside of my life, but I came through those things. I just held on to God's hand, and I've made it through. But now you're being sifted, and you can feel the difference. Before, you were just shaken, and it was a struggle, I'll give you that, but you made it through. But now it's gotten to the place where you're being sifted, and there is absolutely no comparison. It's so much harder and more difficult to face and experience, and you don't know if you are going to make it through. As a matter of fact, if the truth would be told, and we could read your heart this morning, you've been thinking about giving up on God just so all of it would go away. And if you're here this morning, and that's the way you're feeling, there's three things that the Lord wants you to understand before you ever leave this place. I want you to understand, I fought and fought with the Lord. I wanted to preach something more encouraging. I realized we were going to have a lot of visitors and things like that. But as I went back and I grabbed this for an illustration, just in case we were going to, you know, pray it through and see what God was going to do and we were going to go ahead with this message, I had somebody in the hallway say, Pastor, that's exactly what I feel like I'm going through right now. And I said, Lord, I'm going to quit fighting and just preach what you told me to preach. And if you're here this morning and you're feeling that way, there's three things that God wants you to get a hold of before you ever leave these altars. And the first thing that you need to understand when you're in the sifter is you need to realize what's at stake. Because when you're in the sifter, Satan is attempting to fulfill his plans for your life in full. And because of that, you've got to realize two very important things. Number one, you've got to understand what his intentions are. And number two, you have to realize what's at stake because of it. Jesus made it very, very clear what the devil's intentions are in our text, didn't he? He said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. And He desires to have you so that He can damn your soul to hell. And there's no hidden agenda here. The Bible says we're not ignorant of His devices. We understand what His intentions are. His intentions are to separate you from God so that He can steal away your eternal soul. In other words, we could put it like this. To sift you is the means and to separate you is the end. That's what He wants to accomplish when you're inside the sifter. And all throughout the Bible, we can see what the devil's intentions are. The Lord's made it very clear. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." In other words, you could say it like this, paraphrase, Satan has no other interest in your life than to steal and kill and destroy everything that the Lord's trying to do in you. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we see the warning, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Not pat with his paws, not scratch, not even bite. He wants to devour you. And you need to realize that the object of his affection is your soul. It's not just your marriage. It's not just your child. It's not just your job situation. He wants to destroy you. I don't know what is surrounding you in the sifter. Sometimes this is a marriage. Sometimes it's people not being able to find jobs. He can have all different kinds of meshes that he uses, but it's always for the exact same purpose. To separate you from God. And a lot of times if we don't understand his intentions, we'll focus on the mesh more than the message. The intentions that I just read are aimed at you personally, and you have to understand that your soul is what's in his sight. He is seeking to devour your soul. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with God. That is His intention for your life, and He will do absolutely anything to accomplish it. The great preacher Clarence McCartney once said that the devil has absolutely no conscience, and I found that to be very true. He'll do whatever it takes to accomplish his agenda. He will bring you to the lowest point possible in your life, all so that He can separate you from God. So if you're here and you're in the sifter, you need to understand one thing, what His intentions are. Don't just focus in on the problem. I want you to focus in on the enemy's intentions, because that's what this whole problem is evolved for in the first place, to ruin you spiritually. The second thing that we need to realize when we're in the sifter is that you can resist what the devil's trying to do. That might sound real basic, and the funny thing is we're real spiritual when we're not the ones going through it. And we are walking doctrine when we are not going through the sifter. But the strange thing is it seems like as soon as he shuts that lid and starts shaking our life, all that doctrine starts to fly out of the window. All these things that we're so certain of become uncertain and questionable. Now, since he's trying to ruin your relationship with God altogether, you need to determine that you're not going to let him. You might not be able to stop his sifting, but that doesn't mean you can't resist it. You might not be able to see straight while it's happening, but that does not mean that he has to succeed. Because regardless of how bad he sifts, and regardless of how bad it hurts, the promise that's given to you in James chapter 4, verse 7 is still the same. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Even in the middle of the sifter. I know it doesn't seem like it. I've been there before. I just got done thinking that my little girl had cancer. You want to talk about being shaken? You want to talk about being sifted? I'm a preacher. I know all kinds of doctrine. But all those healing verses went flying out of the window there for a couple hours when the devil was just doing his heyday. I want you to understand what you're feeling is real. You're not some weakling spiritually just because you're having all these thoughts. That's the way it works. That's what the sifter's designed to do. You get bashed around inside of that thing to where you don't even know which way's up anymore. But there's one thing that remains constant. The promises of God. And you do not have to let the devil succeed. So that means that even though you're in the sifter, you can still resist him. You can still stand against him. And you can still refuse him to his face. You've got to believe that when you're standing in the sifter. And after you realize what's at stake, unless you're absolutely insane, you won't be willing to do anything less. When you're in the sifter, this is what you need to tell the devil. You need to say, Satan, I realize that you can come and you can sift me all you want. I mean, if the Lord allows it, I mean, it's going to take place. I can't stop you from sifting me, but while I'm in it, I can still plant my feet on the solid rock. I can still hold to my God's unchanging hand, and by the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, He will see me through this thing. I don't like it. I wish it all go away. I'm not enjoying this, but the promises of God are still relevant in my life, regardless of what you're trying to do. Because there's too much at stake for you to allow him to succeed. You think about your situation right now that you're going through. I don't know who you are. There's some people I know who are going through desperate situations, but I really feel like I'm preaching to somebody that I don't even know what you're going through. Think about everything that your situation entails. If you give up on God, what is going to be the outcome? Because it's not just you losing your soul. How many others might have the opportunity to lose theirs too? When Satan starts to affect you, you want to know what you become? Selfish, because that's what he is. I said earlier that the essence of Christianity is selflessness. But when you've got the devil all over you and all you can hear is him yelling inside of your ears, you want to know what he's yelling? Selfish things. Just give up. It's all about you. If you're not comfortable, throw in the towel. Get out of this thing. How many people are going to be affected if you do? You know, there's two men in the Word of God that had the same problem. Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. They both denied the Lord Jesus Christ and they both betrayed Him in their own way. But we see after Peter did his thing, he became repentant in heart. He went out into the courtyard and it said that he wept bitterly and he turned around and said, God, I'm sorry. That's not the lifestyle I want to choose for myself. But the Bible said that Judas never did. And it makes it very clear that he lost his soul because of it. Here's what I want you to understand. Satan sifted both of those men, didn't he? But he was only successful with one of them. What's that tell us? He can sift as hard as he wants to, but it doesn't mean that he has to succeed. You might feel foolish. I mean, you might have been like Peter. In just a second before you went in the sifter, you'd say, Lord Jesus, I'll go with you even to the death. I don't even know who he is. You're not as weak as you thought. Happens to the best of them, doesn't it? Third thing that you need to do when you're in the sifter is you need to remember what Jesus said in our text. Because in verse 31, He warned, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But then He promised in the very next verse, but I've prayed for thee that your faith fail not. You can never forget that regardless of how hard and how long you're being sifted, by God's grace and by God's strength, you can make it through. Now, if you don't understand that last statement that I just made, you're never going to make it through the sifter. I want you to hear it again. You can never forget that regardless of how hard you're being sifted, by God's grace and by God's strength, you can still make it through. Don't expect to have any strength inside of the sifter. When you're being flipped upside down, you can't even see what to punch at, let alone land one. Folks, you really got to listen to me this morning, okay? You're never going to get through it yourself. The only hope you have is to cry out to your Savior and say, Lord, you see what I'm experiencing and you have to come and help. Because you want to know what He's doing right now while you're experiencing it? He's whispering in your Heavenly Father's ear, you need to help Him because I'm the one that intercedes always on their behalf. You can survive the sifter. It doesn't have to ruin you. But you have to make up your mind that you're not going to let it. We can never forget that regardless of the problem in verse 31, we can still cling to the promise of verse 32. Because Satan may have the power to sift you, but God still has the power to keep you. And you can't forget it. I don't know why God allows us to be sifted, folks. I wish it was always for just a short amount of time, Sister Keplinger, but sometimes it goes on for years. I mean, we could go over all the reasons that God allows hardship to come into our lives, but you don't want to hear it right now, do you? You just want out. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how terrifying it seems, you can still trust God. You can still cling to Him. You can still lay it all at His feet. I mean, all those emotions that you're struggling with that you think that He's going to be offended by. Confusion, frustration, pain, worry, all the horror. I mean, He says that we can cast that stuff at His feet. Why? Because He cares about us. You want to know one verse you need to remember while you're in the sifter? He remembers our frame that we're just dust. Another way you could say it is this. This is the way God could look at it. I spend year after year instilling my doctrine into their hearts and lives. But yet I realize that when their enemy comes as strong as he does in the sifter, it's not going to be at the forefront. It's going to be laying dormant at the back. But he understands that. And he wants to help you while you're in the midst of it. Why? How? When we don't have any strength, what did He say He was going to do? He was going to pray for us. That our faith would fail not. Amen. Sister Adami, if you want to come, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. It might be the shortest sermon I've ever preached in my life. Have you ever seen an eagle? They're magnificent birds, aren't they? I mean, they're the bird of birds. They're huge. They're powerful. They have a massive wingspan. I mean, they are an awesome sight to behold. They used to have one at the Fort Wayne Zoo. And when I saw that thing, I didn't realize they were that big. It was a bald eagle. It was amazing. But one time in this amazing bird's life, they experienced what's called the molting period. And what happens is even though they're the bird of birds and they're so beautiful, all their feathers start to fall out. And when that happens, you know, they're used to being, you know, kind of the king of beasts in the air, if you know what I mean. And they fall into a depression. And they don't sit up in their nest, you know, high up on the mountaintop anymore, but they go down into the valley and they just sulk and they just sit there and they refuse to eat. And because they don't ever open up their mouths, there's a crust that starts to form on their beaks and they start to starve to death and they just want to die. But when that happens, other eagles take notice of it. And they go down and they find where that other eagle's at and they start to peck away at that crust that's formed across its beak and they start to push in little particles of food and feed it and nurture it until it comes through that molting stage and it comes back to life again. And it pulls out of that desperate situation, it goes up to the mountain peak where it belongs and it starts to soar like God created it to. I don't know who's in the molting stage this morning. But I know you got some intercessory eagles that want to help you get out of it. I want to read one more portion of Scripture to you. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 35. I want to remind you what the devil's intentions are. He wants to separate you from God. That's why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. There's no other reason behind it, folks. He has one purpose and one purpose alone. The reason you're feeling so shaken and beat up and so discouraged and frustrated and nobody seems to have answers and you're about ready to lose your mind is because He strategically brought you to that point so that you would give up completely on God to separate you from Jesus Christ. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's got an intention to separate you from God altogether. But what is the only thing that can separate us from God? I mean, we just read all kinds of things that can't. What's the only thing that could possibly separate us from our relationship with God? You. Don't allow Him to do it. I realize that you are so discouraged, you're so frustrated, and the only thing that's going on in your mind is, why, God? Why is this happening? And you're not offering that complaint up in a blasphemous way, amen, but you're being shaken so much, you don't know what else to say. Why? I've been trying to live right. Why is this taking place in my life? God, help me. He wants you to understand this morning, He's not offended. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And this morning, if you're in the sifter, what you need more than anything is the grace of God in your life. I'm going to say it again. If you're ever going to make it out of this thing, you're going to have to understand that you're not going to be the one that does it. The only way you're going to come through successful is by crying out to God and remaining faithful to Him and letting Him do a work. You know, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we used to get in fights like that and things like that. And whenever you'd have to fight a great big guy, the first thing you'd want to do is go get another great big guy that was on your side to come with you. So you didn't have to fight the giant alone. You need somebody with you for this one. And there's only one person that can seal the deal, and you know who it is. Let's stand. Before the buses leave or anything else, folks, we've got 20 minutes to come down and pray. I tried to preach short on purpose, and by the grace of God, it has finally happened in our church. But I think it's happened with some divine intervention for a reason. And that's because there's some eagles that are down in the molting stage right now and they just don't know what to do. And they need some fellow eagles to come down and start pulling some of that crust off their beak and nourish them till they get till the back on the mountaintop and they start to soar like God intends them to. So if you're here this morning and you're one of the ones that are in the sifter, I want you to come down to the front. Come on. He resists the proud. He gives grace to people that are humble. You're in the sifter. Come down. God wants to help you this morning. He isn't going to force you. He's not going to drag you. But you want some help. You need help from God. Folks, I want you to take a good hard look at the folks that are coming down here very humbly and saying, Lord, I'm being shaken to the ends of my spiritual existence, it feels like. And I need your help. We need to come and gather around them and pray that God's going to get them through this. He might get them through before they even stand up. It might be a process that we need to intercede for them for a while. But I'm telling you one thing I know. God can get them through the sifter. But would you want to have to go through it alone? Intercession is going to be a key for each one of these situations. They're admitting, man, I'm being shaken so hard I don't even know what to swing at. Confusion and frustrations filling their mind because that's what this thing does. I've been there, I know. Intercession is essential. And this time while you're out of the sifter, you need to pray for the ones that are in it so that the next time that you're in it, somebody will come along and pray for you. Let's pray, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.